What I want to speak about today is slichos, and a question that I have asked in the past and have developed the past three answers, and this year I added a fourth answer to this question. I didn't see anybody else who asked the question, but I think it's a good question, and I think the answers are good answers, and they also give us a perspective on Rosh Hashanah, what exactly we're supposed to be doing on Rosh Hashanah. So let's start. We started Slichos, we meaning Ashkenazim, started Slichos Motzei Shabbos, Saturday night, and we always start Slichos on a Saturday night. In fact, the first Slicha, the Pizmon, is B'motzoi Menucha, speaks about the fact that it's Motzei Shabbos, and we always start Slichos a minimum of 4 days before Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah can fall on Thursday or on Shabbos, like it does this year. And when it falls on Thursday or Shabbos, then there are 4 days between Motzei Shabbos prior to Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah. So we start the Motzei Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah, like this year. When Rosh Hashanah falls on Monday or Tuesday, which it also can fall, then there aren't 4 days between Rosh Hashanah and Motzei Shabbos before. So we start two Motzei Shabboses before. We always have a minimum 4 days, and we always start on Motzei Shabbos. Now, one of the reasons why we start a minimum of 4 days is because on Rosh Hashanah, we are going to offer ourselves as sacrifices to God. That is the motif of Rosh Hashanah. We totally hand ourselves over into God's hands to judge us. And we accept His kingdom, and we declare Him to be king, and that is like sacrificing ourselves, becoming very close and totally subjugating, surrendering ourselves into God's hands. That's making ourselves a sacrifice. And that is found in a Medrash. The Medrash says that on all the Yomim Tovim, we say, V'hikratzem Ola, you should offer up a sacrifice, a burnt offering. And on Rosh Hashanah, it says, V'asisem Ola, which can also be read, make yourself a sacrifice. So the motif of Rosh Hashanah is sacrificing ourselves to God, not by immolating ourselves, burning ourselves on an altar, but by totally subjugating ourselves to God. That's called making yourself a sacrifice. Also, Rosh Hashanah is the anniversary of the Akedah, which was the closest thing to human sacrifice that we came to. Avraham Avinu was ready to sacrifice his son, and Yitzchak was ready to be sacrificed. And the ram which Avraham made in place of Yitzchak was considered like he did it to Yitzchak, and that's the shofar. The shofar is a hint to that ram. And every time we're judged, the Mishnah says, we bring from the thing we're being judged upon as a sacrifice. We're judged on grain, on Pesach, we bring grain as a sacrifice, the Omer. On Shavuos, we're being judged for fruit of the tree, we bring a sacrifice from wheat, which has a connection to fruit of the tree. On Sukkot, we're being judged for rainfall, we bring water on the altar. So on Rosh Hashanah, when our very lives are being judged, we bring our lives as a sacrifice. We totally subjugate ourselves to God. So we see the motif of Rosh Hashanah is to make ourselves a sacrifice. If that's the case, before you bring a sacrifice, you have to inspect the sacrifice for 4 days to see that it is blemish-free. So therefore, we need 4 days of slichos to investigate and to check ourselves to make sure that we come to Rosh Hashanah blemish-free. That is normally how this idea of 4 days is explained. Why we need 4 days of slichos before Rosh Hashanah, it corresponds to the Yemei Bikur, to the time of investigation that is done to a sacrifice before it is offered to check it for blemishes. Now, I never understood that idea, because that seems to imply that during the 4 days of Slichos, minimum, sometimes it's more than 4 days, we will have a chance to come to Rosh Hashanah blemish-free, to check ourselves out and make sure that we have no blemishes and we're come to Rosh Hashanah blemish-free. I don't know about you. I don't have a prayer in the world to come to Rosh Hashanah blemish-free. I'm hoping that by Ne'ilah of Yom Kippur I get rid of some of the blemishes. But that I should be blemish-free before Rosh Hashanah, then what's the purpose of Aseres Yemei Teshuva? If I'm going to be blemish-free by Rosh Hashanah, I might as well take a vacation. I'm perfect by Rosh Hashanah time. What do I have to worry about Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and Aseret Yemei Teshuva? It would seem that the whole purpose of Rosh Hashanah, Aseret Yemei Teshuva, Shabbos Teshuva, and Yom Kippur is to try to get rid of your blemishes, but not that you're going to get rid of them before Rosh Hashanah. So what does that mean? We have 4 days to check ourselves out and make sure that with the sacrifice on Rosh Hashanah is blemish-free. So in the past, I will tell you 3 ideas that I've said, and I'll tell you a new one for this year. But we'll have to do this in a shorter version than I was planning to do it. First answer is, it doesn't mean that we need 4 days to check ourselves out to see that we're blemish-free. Just the opposite. We need 4 days to check ourselves out and to find that we have blemishes. The whole year, we fool ourselves into thinking that we have no blemishes at all. We have no sins at all. And even though we admit that we sin, but we do it the following way. The Rambam says that the minimal vidui, confession on Yom Kippur, is 3 words. Aval anachnu chatanu. Literally translated, but we have sinned. Those are the 3 words that form the minimal vidui, the minimal confession. Now the truth is that aval anachnu chatanu does not mean but we have sinned. What it really means is verily we have sinned. In truth we have sinned. The word aval in archaic, in Tanakh Hebrew, means in truth. It can also mean in truth, verily. Aval ashenim anachnu. In truth we are guilty, it says in the Torah. The brothers of Yosef said that. But the word aval, its normal usage is but. So I want to explain that you can understand it with its normal usage too. Not just verily we have sinned, but we have sinned. How does that make sense? But we have sinned. The whole year we also say a similar confession, but in a different order. We say, anachnu chatanu, we have sinned, aval, but. And after that but, we have so many justifications, excuses, that by the time we're finished, it's not only not an aveira anymore, it's a mitzvah. Yeah, I sinned, but it wasn't my fault. This one made me do it. I had this excuse and that excuse. I really meant it for the good. And in the end, it turned out okay, and therefore, no more sin. So we wash away the sins. We launder the sins with that but. On Yom Kippur, you have to come, and after all the ifs, ands, and buts, but anachnu chatanu, we still remain with the fact that we sinned. People fool themselves into thinking that what's wrong is right and what's right is wrong, and kol mumim adam roeh chutzmei mumei atzmo. Everybody sees everybody else's blemishes, but they don't see their own. And therefore, the whole year we are not ready to offer ourselves as a sacrifice to God because we think we're perfect. And God doesn't want people who think they're perfect. By God, the Medrash says, the Gemara says, that human beings use perfect vessels, and broken vessels they don't use, they throw them away. God uses broken vessels. Lev nishbar v'nidke elokim lo sevaza. God will not insult a broken heart. The Kutzke Rebbe says, the most perfect thing in this world is a broken heart. Because God wants us to recognize that we're not complete, we're not perfect. If we think we're perfect, we're far from being perfect. It's when we understand we're not that we reach towards perfection. So therefore, we need 4 days not to inspect ourselves that we should come to Rosh Hashanah blemish-free, but we should inspect ourselves and find out in those 4 days of Slichas that we have blemishes that we have to work on. And we need a Rosh Hashanah, and we need a Yom Kippur, we need a Aseret Yemei Teshuva. That was one answer. Second answer. The truth is that only a public, communal sacrifice needs to be inspected 4 days for blemishes. When you bring a personal, private sacrifice, you don't have to inspect it. You have to make sure it doesn't have blemishes. You don't need that 4-day period. And therefore, there are 2 judgments on Rosh Hashanah. One, we are being judged as individuals. And the other, we are being judged as part of the community. And as individuals, we need a lot of rachamim. No one is perfect. And we need a lot of Rosh Hashanah, Aseret Yemei Teshuva, Yom Kippur to hope to get rid of some of our blemishes. But as we are part of the tzibur, part of the community of Klal Yisrael is called a tzaddik. Tzaddik katomer yifrach. The Jewish people as a people, as a unit, are called tzaddikim. We are righteous. Va'ameich kulam tzaddikim. The nation of the Jewish people, kulam, all together are tzaddikim. And therefore, kol Yisrael yeshlem chelik lolam haba. The Jewish people as a unit have a share in the world to come. And everyone who's part of that unit shares in that share to the world to come. If you don't have a share in the Jewish people, if you're not part of the Jewish people, then you lose your share in the world to come. The Rambam says a person can do no sin. And his only problem is that he separates himself from the community. He doesn't rejoice in their happiness, and he doesn't mourn their suffering. He's a person who's separated from the community. He loses his share in the world to come. Even though he's a tzaddik, he has no sins. Because you can't have a share in the world to come, you can't have a relationship to God only through the Jewish people. We as a nation, each individual has a part in that nation, and as a part in the nation, we have a connection to God. Without our connection to the nation, we lose our connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam. We lose our connection to the world to come. And therefore, the community, this is what Moshe Rabbeinu told the Jewish people, Atem nitzavim hayom kulchem. After the Jewish people heard all the terrible curses and admonitions in Parshas Kisavo, added to what we heard in Parshas Bechukosai, 98 curses and 49 curses. They said, who can live with all of this? Who can survive? They gave up hope. So Moshe Rabbeinu told them, don't worry. You angered God many times and you're still around. So don't worry about it. It's all going to be okay. Or is Moshe Rabbeinu trying to contradict God? God is scaring the life out of them with 98 curses, that if they don't keep the Torah, it's going to be bitter. And Moshe says, don't worry about it. You didn't keep the Torah a lot of times, you're still around. So he's trying to contradict what God said? No, God's only pulling your leg, don't worry about it. Right? That's Moshe Rabbeinu's job. Beyond that, it's not true. Yeah, we angered God in the desert many times, and people suffered because of that. Thousands, tens of thousands died. A whole generation died out because of the sin of the spies. So what's Moshe Rabbeinu telling them? Don't worry, you sinned many times, nothing happened. Plenty happened. Sure, we're still around, but we're decimated. A whole new generation is the one he's speaking to. The old generation died out. People were killed in plagues by snakes, by... Look through the Torah. What's Moshe Rabbeinu talking about? And the answer is, yes, as individuals, people were killed and they suffered. But as a nation, Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem, all of those admonitions is not to destroy you. It's to make sure, ensure that the Jewish people as a people remain. We celebrate Pesach. God took us out of Egypt. He saved us from the Egyptians. Sure, but four-fifths of the Jewish people died. But the Jewish people survived. We celebrate the survival of the nation. Even though individuals suffered, individuals died, individuals were punished. So therefore, vis-a-vis our judgment as individuals, we're not going to be blemish-free before Rosh Hashanah. But hopefully, if we can become part of the tzibur, part of the community, and feel ourselves part of the community, then we have the merit of the community that as part of the community, we're tzaddikim, we're blemish-free. And this idea of slichas is a communal action. We go to shul and daven with a minyan. It's not something you do at home. Most of the slichas, the main part of slichas, you can only do with a minyan. This is the way that the tzibur approaches Aseres Yimei Tshuva. So therefore, as individuals, we're going to come to Rosh Hashanah blemished, and need a Rosh Hashanah and Aseres Yimei Tshuva and Yom Kippur to take away those blemishes. But if we can raise our level of sensitivity to the community, and we all live in many communities, the community of our families, the community of our neighborhood, the community of our shul, the community of our city, country, Klal Yisrael, and the world community. We function on many different communal levels. The more we feel part of the community, the more we have the merit of the community. And how great is that merit? The Shunamis, the woman from Shunem, did Elisha a favor. She built him a little room and furnished it. But whenever he came to Shunem, he had a place to stay. And he wanted to show his gratitude. So he said to her, do you have anything that you would like me to speak to the king for you? And the Zohar says, the king referred to here is Melech Malchei Amlochim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the day was Erev Rosh Hashanah. And Elisha said to this woman, tomorrow in my davening on Rosh Hashanah, I have some free time. You want me to ask for anything for you? Now, if Elisha asked me, I'd give him a shopping list of things to ask for me. What did she say? Besoch ami anochi yosheves. Don't single me out. I want to remain part of the community. Don't single me out. Because if you single me out, even the merit that I'll have from you praying for me will never be equal to the merit of being part of the community. That's how important it is to be part of the community, to be an active member of all the communities that you exist in. And therefore, in last week's Sedra, there are positive things about the community, there are also negative things about feeling yourself part of the community. On the one hand, the merit of the community benefits everybody. But if you rely on that merit in order that you can do bad things, that's what it says, maybe there's somebody who will feel, well, I'm part of the community, I'll do what I want, and the community's merit will stand in my stead. You know what it says? Leman Sfos Lo Yova Hashem Shloach Lo. God will not forgive such a person. Because he says, Leman Sfos HaRova Esatzneya. The quenched will be added to the thirsty. The merit of the community is quenched. Quenched meaning it's full. The merit of every individual is thirsty. It's lacking. The person says, my lacking will be made up for by the community. I can do whatever I want, and the merit of the community will stand in my stead. That's using the community negatively. Another way to use the community negatively is, they'll do it for me. I don't have to do anything. I can't do it on my own. I need somebody else to do it. Lo b'shamayim hi. The Torah is not in the heavens. We have to say, I need a Moshe Rabbeinu to get it for me. No, Moshe already brought it down. See it. Lo me'ever layam, the Targum Yerushalmi says. It's not over the sea. I need a yonah to go on a whale and get it for me. No. It's very close. It's in your mouth, in your heart, to do. You can do it. Don't rely on others. Don't use the community as a crutch. Benefit from being part of the community. But don't think you need the community to do it for you. So what do we need the community for? Another part of last week's Sedra. Hakir. When all the Jews can come together, that's when you can strengthen the Torah. When everybody's together. Then each person strengthened by his neighbor. Each l're'eyu yomar chazak. Each one strengthens the other one, both for good or for bad. So that's what the benefit of the community is. And that's why the final shira, the song that Moshe Rabbeinu presented from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that spells out all of Jewish history, is a song. A song is components of many parts that make up that totality. That's like the community. Many different parts that make up that totality. Each one is important, and the total is also important. So that is another idea. True, as individuals, we are not going to become blemish-free before Rosh Hashanah. But that's not the concept of slichas. The concept of slichas is to look at ourselves as a unit, as a community, as a communal sacrifice. We're also going to be judged as a community on Rosh Hashanah. And the more we become part of the community, the more on that level we'll be blemish-free, because the community is a tzaddik. Okay, that is a second answer. Third answer. Third answer is something that Rabbeinu Yonah says. Rabbeinu Yonah explains, how is it possible, it says in Pirkei Avos, it's possible for a person to have Maisav Merubim Michachmaso. He does more than he knows. How can you do more than you know? If you don't know, you can't do. Says the Rabbeinu Yonah, the main thing about Torah is your commitment to Torah. You commit yourself to learn Torah and to observe it. Even if you don't know anything, but I'm committed, whatever I learn, I'll do. It's as if you did already what you didn't, what don't know and haven't done. Because you're committed. When you find out about it, you'll do it. So the commitment is as if you did it. That's why there's a special bracha and a special curse for people who either commit themselves to the Torah or don't commit. Baruch ha'isha sheyokin et divrei ha'Torah hazos. Yokin means not to observe, but to commit yourself to observe. A person can keep 612 mitzvahs, but if he's not committed to all 613, he's a mummer. He's out of the pale of Yiddishkeit. Even though he keeps 612 mitzvahs, but he's only committed to 612. The 613th he doesn't accept. He's not a practicing Jew. And somebody can keep 12 mitzvahs, But he's committed to all of them, but he can't. He's weak. His Yetzer Hara gets the best of him. But he knows he's doing something wrong. He's committed to doing all the mitzvahs. Hey, that person is still a prim Jew. He'll get punished for what he does wrong. But he's committed to the entire Torah. The Meiri says that a person who commits himself to do tshuva is already called a chassid before he does anything. His name, his status changes. The commitment changes his status. Now you have to go and do tshuva. But if you're committed, even before you do anything, before you start, you already change your status. And therefore, the slichos is a commitment. I am committed to doing tshuva. And therefore, even though I have the blemishes and I have to work it out, but my status changes, I'm already considered like I'm blemish-free. That's another possible answer. This year, I added another answer, similar to this last one, but a little bit different. Says, okay, he said in last week's Sedra, Umol Hashem Elokecha es levavcha ve es levav zarecha. One of the hints to Elul is that God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your children. And that means the following, that there is a certain help from heaven to people who have a will, a desire to repent. When you desire to repent, habol l'tahir, a person comes to purify himself, nesayin lo, he gets help. Siyata d'shmai, gets a special help from heaven. Habitzchu v'tesa t'chudo shel machat. You open up a pinhole, God says, and I'll open the rest for you. I'll open a wide opening for you. The way a person wants to go, he's led. God helps him along the path that he wants to go. Even on our own, we can't do anything. Even when it comes to doing tshuva, to doing mitzvahs, to conquering the Yetzer Hara, on our own, we can't do it. Every day a person's Yetzer Hara gets stronger, gets newer, and if God wouldn't help us, we couldn't conquer it. So we need God's help. But we have to take the first step. We have to show we have a desire. I want to conquer the Yetzer Hara. I want to do tshuva. I want to do what's right. If you want, then God will help you. And ultimately, it's God's help that carries you through. So therefore, Slichos is saying, God, I want to be blemish free. I come to the Rabban Hashem and I say, we start the Slichos, L'cho Hashem, Atzdaka, V'lonu Boshes Haponim. I'm embarrassed. I'm ashamed. If you're embarrassed and ashamed, then you want to change. If you're not embarrassed and ashamed, then there's no reason to change. And I have no excuses. Manomar, Manitzkadok, what can we say? What can we justify? I have no excuses. I'm ashamed and I have no excuses. And I believe, God, that you will help me. And you will extend your hand. Your hand is open to receive and to help us, to pull us along. So I believe that you can forgive me. I believe that you want to forgive me. I believe that you'll help me in that process. And I know that I need it. And that creates a strong will. And when you have that tremendously strong will to repent, and to become blemish-free, then everything else will fall into place. Habol etayir, Messiah in love. You want to be free of sin? You want to purify yourself? God will put you in that mikveh. He'll surround you. He'll sprinkle purifying waters on you. He'll do everything in his power to help you along. So therefore, that's what slichas is. Defaknu d'lasecha, we're banging on the door. All we have to do is bang. The Rabban Hashem will open it, not only that, he'll drag us in. All we have to do is knock on the door and show him we want to come in. So that's the idea of slichos. The idea of slichos is that we have 4 days to become blemish-free, to inspect ourselves, not to take away the blemishes, but to recognize that we have them and to recognize that we want to get rid of them. And our part is that will, that desire, that opening. The Kutzker Rebbe says you have to open a pinhole, but it has to be sharp as a pin. It has to be a sharp opening. Small, but sharp. So we express our desire to become blemish-free. Then we've already started the process. And that process itself, on Rosh Hashanah, we will be considered blemish-free because we did our part. We showed our desire, our intent. We've gotten on the path. We're on the right road. Now God will see to it that we get to the end of that road. So that is the idea on Rosh Hashanah. We're going to totally give ourselves over into God's hand as a sacrifice. Part of giving ourselves over is to say, God, I can't do it on my own. I want to do it. I need your help. Help me. I'm knocking on the door. Open it. Pull me in. And by Yom Kippur, Ne'ilah, God will open the door and pull us in. So those are four different ways of looking at this idea of how to use these days of Slichos properly before Rosh Hashanah. The days of Slichos are to recognize that we have blemishes. The days of Slichos are to recognize that we're part of the community. And as that, we are really blemish-free. It's to make a commitment that I want to repent and to show that I have the desire to repent. And when we have the desire, then God will see to it that he pulls us through these days of judgment and everything will end up in the most favorable way possible. We hope in Yirtzeh Hashem that everyone will have a ksiva v'chasima tov as individuals, as families, and that Klal Yisrael will have a very blessed year. Tich l'shana v'kiloseh. We had a very cursed year last year. Many, many curses. We hope that that year will end with all of its curses and a new year will begin. Toch el shana b'choseh. A new year will begin with blessing, shalom and bracha in spiritual and physical, material things. And this year will be the year that will have the ultimate bracha, the Vias Goel Tzedek and Heir of Yom Eitz.